This is Ira Glass of This American Life. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I have no idea what that means. Somebody just asked me to say this.
Competition works. When it doesn't, the government steps in to prevent monopolistic attempts. Free enterprise will give the young people of today the freedom of opportunity to develop ideas which will make a better way of life for the children of tomorrow.
For the best and the worst, and now we have to move heaven and earth just to find the time. How are you, friend? What are you feeling now? tell you what I wish. I wish we would run away from the work and the kids and the partners for a day. It would be like the old times, movies and long drives, windows rolled all the way down, singing free and loud, and really talking it out. How are you, friend? What are you feeling now? What are you thinking about? And it's strange, the things you miss, like a stranger who was once a friend. I tell you what I miss my friends today. I hope they still exist, 'cause it's them I miss today.
Schmodio! Schmodio! Schmodio!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you live on the unceded and stolen Musqueam territory that UBC happens to be built on. My name is Ruby Raven. I'm here with Stella Merkel.
Hello.
And you're listening to Schmodio.
Yes, you
pew,
are.
Pew, 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 pew. Welcome back. This is our second episode of the third season. Schmodio, formerly known as Not My First Schmodio, Schmo Radio, Schmoes, a home of the Schmoes, a show for Schmoes.
Indeed.
Indeed. So today we have an interview with Ola Dada. If you're into comedy like me, you have probably seen his posters all over the city. Like, whenever I'm walking around Main Street or something, I feel like I'm always seeing, like, he's got a good press agent. Maybe it's him walking around the city putting up these posters. But I know his name because I see his name everywhere all over the city. So I was really excited to get to talk to him. He's going on tour all around Canada right now. But he's from Vancouver, and he'll be back in Vancouver on June 16th and 17th for his shows, 14th to the 16th and the 17th. 14th to the 17th. He gave me the information in a weird way, but it's really those 3 days. Yeah, so I am glad to be sharing this interview with him. And then obviously today we have a really special guest, Stella.
That's me.
who will be sharing her schmoment after the interview. So let's, without further ado, let's hear from Ola. Let's hear what Ola has to say for himself. Here we go. Ola Dada is a Canadian stand-up comedian, most noted as a finalist in the 2019 SiriusXM Top Comic Competition. In 2020, he was featured in the CBC Gems stand-up comedy web series, The New Wave of Stand-Up. In 2022, he was a competitor on the second season of Canada's Got Talent, making it to the semifinals, and released his debut comedy album, Dada Plan. He's currently on tour around Canada and will be in Vancouver on June 17th and then again on July 14th to 16th. So get your tickets. Hello, Ola. Thank you so much for joining us today on Schmodio. How are you?
I am very good. Thanks for having me, Ruby.
So when I was doing my extensive deep dive research into your past, I read that you used to go, that you were studying accounting.
Yes.
Before you became a stand-up. And I'm wondering, why accounting? Like, why choose that?
Honestly, going into school, I never knew what I wanted to do there, but I've always been good with numbers. So I just kind of like, okay, well, numbers seems to be the one thing that, you know, you learn it. It kind of, you can really think outside the box, because writing, I was too lazy. I didn't like writing papers. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I stayed away from anything that was essay related. I just picked it because it was the easiest. I know that sounds crazy. For me, it was the easiest thing to do.
That's interesting because now your job is very writing focused.
Oh, man. Yeah. And now I'm writing as much words that I did not want to do, but it's like for something that I love at the same time.
Yeah. Is there anything funny about accounting? Like when you quit accounting to do comedy, which is what your Wikipedia page said, were you able to be like, oh, great, I have all this content from my accounting days?
It's funny part, before I even made the final switch, my teachers would always pull me aside and be like, oh, well, are you sure you want to do accounting? And I'm just kind of like, I don't know. They're like, you're way too social for this. Yeah. A lot of my professors were always like, you don't seem like the accounting type. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. And like, I have like great marks and everything, but just like, it's like, I don't know if accounting is suited for you.
It's fit for the lifestyle of an isolated accounting job.
Yeah. I've always just been very like bubbly and very like social in terms of my classrooms all the way, even through university. Like group projects, I'm like bouncing around helping everybody else, but then also just super chatty.
So why did you want to get into comedy?
Honestly, comedy is one of those things that was kind of like a slow process. I kind of just started it because it was just fun. When I did comedy for the first time, performed for the first time, it was more of an accident than anything. I was just out with my friends and we had heard some laughter when we went into a pizza shop in the basement, and then we didn't really know what it was. And then we went down there, and then my buddies asked me to go up because at this time, like, I'm the funny guy or the fun guy. So they wanted to see if I would be okay. And then the lady let me go up, luckily, but she got us to all pay money to have me do like a 3 minute set. Yeah. So, it was like a pretty small room, to be honest. It was like 15 of us. So she just kind of wanted to like fill it out. So she's like, yeah, you know, sure. Just everybody got to pay the full ticket. And your friend can go for 3 minutes. And then I did my thing. I was like, wow, that's amazing. It was super fun. And then it kind of stayed locked in my brain. I'm like, I got to try that again.
How did it go? Normally when someone goes up unprepared, not ever doing stand-up before, it's not successful. So was it scary? How did it feel? Did you succeed?
I did very well. Because again, it was really hard to fail in that scenario. Because like my friends were like the majority of the people in that room that night. And like, all I did was just make fun of my friends, and I just kind of got off and then walked off. And then the lady in the room thought I was a comic from out of town. Yeah. So I just kind of just went on my very way. And then she got my information before I left. I was like, yeah, sure. I'll be down to do this again. And then basically I didn't really hear from her till like another, I think, month and a half. And she was like, oh, are you still in town? I'm like, no, I actually live here. And then she was like, oh, okay, awesome. And then she booked me again. It wasn't until like a while that we actually started conversating, and she found out that was like my first time ever did it.
Wow. Did this happen in Vancouver?
Yeah.
So what was this pizza place called? Do you remember?
Called Goldie's Pizza. The business went under now, but at the time it was called Goldie's Pizza. And she would book me every couple of months, and I was still going to school at the time. So it was a little hard to like try and balance like making those shows. But yeah, I would just, after school, I would just run down to the pizza shop and then try and tell some jokes. And I started going to open mics a bit more when I started taking it a lot more seriously. Yeah. That's when my schedule got really hectic, because I was going to school, working, and like telling jokes at night at open mics to like 2 a.m. in the morning.
So you started in Vancouver, and I still see your posters all over Vancouver for Ola Dada stand up. So you're obviously still in Vancouver. How do you see Vancouver's comedy scene? Like, how would you describe our comedy scene here?
Comedy scene is so fierce. Like, we have such amazing writers. Because of, I believe, the scarcity of opportunity. Because, you know, during the pandemic, a lot of comedy clubs like shut down. And, you know, it's been the history of Vancouver to like have, we don't have a lot of space in terms of like opportunities for stand-up. So to get that stand-up opportunity, you have to be at your absolute best.
Yeah.
Right. So I think because of that, it breeds like the best, I believe the best writers in the city and the best performers in the city. And you know, everybody's so willing to help each other, because again, to be able to get somewhere, to get better, you need to rely on your coworker, so to speak, to give you a pointer on who to talk to, how to perform better, what to watch, or like not what the do's and nots on stage. I think it's a very supportive community out here, especially in my experience coming out and stand up. Everybody has been so friendly for me, and at least been a part of my success through the entire way.
Yeah, wow, that's a great answer. Thanks. And what do you find funny about Vancouver? Like, how does inspiration strike in this city?
Oh man, so many angles to hit on that. man, what I find funny is the, I don't know, you're not gonna like my answer. It's just like, there's like a fine line between people caring a lot about stuff. Like, there are people who really, really care. But then there's a lot of people who really pretend to really, really care. Yeah, that's what I love about Vancouver, because there's like issues and you have the people who are like, they will ride or die for all issues. But then you have people who will ride or die about pretending to like those issues. And I love watching them just trying to like camouflage among each other.
That's really funny. Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. I'm from here. So yeah, I can definitely see that.
And the snow, this city does not, I'm originally from Alberta. So like, I am used to when the snow drops, I know what the business is about to go down. But we are immobilized by snow every year. Like, even though we have the weatherman saying, hey, buckle up, we're getting 10,000 feet of snow next week. Everyone's just like, oh, nothing's going to happen. Like, every year. And then you see CBC News, cars flip over. Oh, my God, how could have everyone see this? Buses are sliding backwards. I'm like, they have been telling us for weeks.
I know, there's no infrastructure. And again, I'm from here. I never had snow boots. Every year with snow, I would just wear my, like, running shoes in the snow. Yeah. No one is prepared. And no one wants to admit to themselves that Vancouver is going to have more snow in the next few years. I think it's honestly a culture of denial.
Yeah, like, we just want to pretend we're not a part of Canada where there's no snow here. Like, there'll be like 10 feet of snow in front of someone's house. Someone's just holding an umbrella anyways instead. Like, it's not raining. Yeah. You have the wrong equipment. Get a shovel.
So obviously, you know, you're a stand-up. You have your goals of, you know, being in comedy. But do you have any, like, really weird goals?
Weird goals? Oh, man.
Like, any weird goals about comedy or not comedy?
Oh, man. I got weird goals in general. I'm trying to get my calves bigger because I've been going to the gym upwards of, like, I think 2.5 years. And you know what? This might be tooting my own horn. I've gotten real strong everywhere else. My legs are looking great, but my calves, for some reason, nutrition just stops at my knees. I don't know. I can't curl my calves. I can't curl it at all. huge quads, but no calves. I look like a praying mantis, man. That's my goal. I want to bigger calves for 2023.
Bigger calves for Ola. Okay. I'll put that out for you.
Please. You know, we should start a GoFundMe. Let's. I don't even know if that's going to work, but. Send prayers. That's what I want. Send prayers for my calves.
Okay, I will. where do you see yourself right now in the landscape of comedy?
Where I see myself right now? Right now, I just see myself, you know, finishing up my comedy special. I'm gearing up to record a visual comedy special at the end of fall in Toronto and also in Vancouver because it's my home city. So I want to be able to get everybody to see what I've been working on. I've been on tour since January. I want everybody to see the finished product in Vancouver and also in Toronto. My two favorite cities to perform in. Mm-hmm. I love every other city, but my favorite cities are Vancouver because it's home. And Toronto is like a second home to me.
And where do you see, like, your style of comedy in the
landscape? Oh, my style. Oh, yeah. Man. My style of comedy is a story style. Like, I like, you know, building a whole picture and a whole scene of, I want you to bring it to my world, right? When I do stand up, I want people to come to my show and not think of anything else that's going on. That's why I talk about things like my family, I talk about love, I talk about in like animals and stuff. I tend to stay away from anything politics or serious, not because I'm scared of it. I just think that, you know, our daily lives is just so filled with this, like negative stuff. So like when you step in and come on my shows, I want you leaving there, you know, feeling light, feeling happy, right? I just want problems to be left at the door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. That's great. And what are you excited about right now?
Oh man, I am getting married in July. I'm super excited.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Oh my God, Mazel Tov. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm super excited. It's a 2-day wedding because I'm Nigerian. July 26th and 27th. Again,
maybe is that my invite? That's my invite, right?
I wish I could. I wish I could, but trust me, I don't even have some families coming. That's how big my family is. Yeah, you should see the beef that's been going on in my family for this wedding. Oh man. I don't think we have enough time to even dive into
it. I mean, if you wanted to share, I'd love to hear about it. But
oh man. So first of all, my dad has been inviting all of Nigeria. And he reached out to like people in high school. I'm like, Dad, you don't even talk to these people. Like, why do they get an invite? I don't even know, like, almost, I think I don't know, like, half of the people at the wedding.
How many people are coming?
220. 220.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, and our capacity for the venue is 200. So, yeah. So we've had to pull a lot of moves to get extra tables, chairs, and stuff like that. At first it was 250 and my brain was planning for 100 initially. And then somehow it just grew. And now it's at that point where we can't say no to anybody that's already coming. So we capped it at 200, but like, no more people.
Yeah, wow.
Process has been stressful, but it's been really fun. All the best.
And are you gonna like make your vows funny? Like, are you going to incorporate any comedy into the day?
No, because you know, the thing is, I can't help myself as much as I try. I've never been a serious person. And like in all scenarios, I find humor in it. So I don't expect that my vows, to me, in my brain, this feels serious. But every time everything comes out of my mouth, it's just, I don't know what it is. It's just, there's a filter of hilarity that just changes every connotation of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. That's very, very fair. That's why you're a comedian.
Yeah.
Why are comedian? That's why you're on tour now around Canada. Where can the people see you in the next few months?
The next few months, I will be going to Winnipeg very soon, June 23rd to 24th, The Basement. And then I'm touching down in Toronto again, the 28th. I'm doing a show with this guy named Nima. You can search him up. Absolutely hilarious guy. Lots of sketches he has out there. I will be doing Chill Pill Comedy in Vancouver, June 17th. My friends in Vancouver was always like, oh, you're always traveling. But I'm like, hey, man, I have spots. Just, you got to pay attention. June 17th, Chill Pill Comedy. That's a Saturday. Catch me there, Vancouver. Vancouver, July 14th, 15th, and 16th, Vancouver. You hear me, Vancouver? July 14th, 15th, and 16th. And then I'm done, Vancouver, for a whole month, okay?
Wow. Get your tickets now.
Get it now.
Fund
my tickets, man. Get the tickets. I need money for my wedding.
All right, Ola. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and have a great wedding.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Wow, that was Ola Dada. We're back live in the studio. You're listening to Schmodio on CITR. And that was Ola Dada. Go get tickets to a show. So funny, so charming, so sweet. All right, what's next up on the docket today, Stella?
On the dock?
On the docket. The dock or the docket? I think it's the docket.
I have no idea.
If someone wants to call in and tell us whether it's the dock or the docket, please feel free. We love callers.
Please do. That would be an interesting segment to have.
Yeah.
And you never know. I could probably very quickly share my schmoment if...
I feel like we should save it. It's such a good schmoment. I think we should just save it for next time.
You know what? That's okay, too, because you want, like, all the details, all the nitty-gritty parts of it, so...
Yeah.
It'll be a treat for later.
Yeah, we were going to get a schmoment from Stella, who is an editor and producer and social media manager for Schmodio.
All the titles.
All the titles. We take it really seriously over here. She was going to share a moment, but she has to go to work because you guys, unfortunately, we can't just be at the radio station all the time. Have to work minimum wage jobs.
Yep. That would be great just to be here all the time. Like, got to pay the bills.
Got to pay those bills. And by bills, we mean Uber Eats. Just kidding. I don't really order Uber Eats. Do you?
A lot of DoorDash on my end.
DoorDash. Yeah. Interesting.
I got banned from Uber. I don't know why, but they
got banned.
They wouldn't let me in. Every time I'd enter in my credit card information, they would just say no, not for you. No food for you.
Oh, no food for you. No soup for you. All right. Well, you go to work. I guess I'll like play a song or whatever on the radio.
A little singy song.
I'm going to play a little singy song. I'm going to play a song called Imagined by Radical Joy. And thank you, Stella. Enjoy your work day.
Thank you.
And here is Imagined.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations, and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is, native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on, or may be visiting. Thank you.
Are you tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
In true schmo fashion, we have a segment that fell through today. So I think I'm just going to vamp. I think that that's probably what everyone wants, right? Everyone wants to hear Ruby vamp. Everyone loves to hear Ruby vamp. And I think everyone wishes Ruby would vamp a little bit more. So I'm going to vamp for I don't know how long, an extended period of time, by telling the listener about some schmoments that I've had recently. If you're just tuning into Schmodio for the first time, a schmoment is a schmo moment, a time where you've embarrassed yourself in public, made a fool of yourself. And the reason why it's schmoey is because it's the most average thing you can do. A schmo is a Yiddish word meaning average person and or fool, right? So the most average thing you can do is be a schmo, is be a fool. Okay, I think I've explained that thoroughly enough. It took me a while to really perfect that explanation. People were really confused for a while, but that's really on me for choosing such a convoluted theme. So recently I've been in my schmo era. I've been in my jank era. Everything's been really janky. My friend let me borrow her shoes. I almost ruined them. She let me borrow her yoga mat. I left them at the yoga studio. Everything's fine. She's forgiven me and it's okay. My friend offered to drive me home and I spilt my smoothie all over his car. Like, I've just been creating chaos where I go and feeling really terrible about it. I did like spray down his whole car and like scrub it down because I felt really bad, but just these small moments that really humble you. That's what the true schmo mentality is. It's, you know, you're not this big person up here. You are this person that spills vomit-looking smoothie in your friend's car. And that's really what I want to remind you this morning. You know, it's important to have high self-esteem. It's important to think highly of yourself, to feel good about yourself. But sometimes you need to be humbled. Sometimes you need to be rejected. Sometimes you need to make a fool of yourself just to remember that, like, you are human and you are average, you know? I mean, if you think of yourself as average already, then you're incredible and you're amazing. But if you think you're amazing, keep thinking you're amazing, but sometimes be humbled. You know what I mean? Okay, that was me vamping. I hope you enjoyed it. Now we're going to listen to a schmoment from Ola Dada. You just heard an interview with the comedian Ola Dada. And now is the schmoment with Ola Dada. And take it away, Ruby, from a few days ago. Here we go. All right, welcome Ola Dada back to Schmodio for the Schmoment. So yes. Let's describe the Schmoment to you. A Schmoment is a schmo moment, a time you deeply embarrassed yourself in public. All right, so the reason why it's a Schmoment is because you're a schmo is an average person slash fool. What's the most average thing you can do? Embarrass yourself in public. Like,
yeah.
We're all just following these ridiculous norms that society said is how you should act.
Yeah.
But we've all got the crazies inside of us. They got to come out somewhere. So what is a schmoment of yours that you can share with me today? A time that was just so humiliating.
God, I'm not gonna lie to you. I hate that I have a whole list of schmoments for you. I have a lifetime of schmoments. I have an index of schmoments. But I think one that really, really stuck to me was, I think this is back in elementary school. And I remember I was sitting down and I bent over to grab something. And as I leaned over to grab something, I farted so loud. Like I didn't even know what was coming. It surprised everybody in the room, me included. I was like, whoa. Cause usually I just gotta go to the bathroom. And I was a bit shy at this time too. And man, everybody started laughing so hard. My God, I didn't even know what to do. I just got up. I just walked out of the room. My teacher was like, oh, I just left. And then I just took my bag and walked straight home.
You went home?
I didn't even. That was like still the rest of the day in school. But they had called my mom. My mom was like, oh, your son left. And I just called my mom and explained what happened. And she's like, it's just, my mom's Nigerian. So she's like, it's just fats now. Everybody fats. Come on now. I was so And take that in. That was in grade 7.
Oh,
grade 8, I vowed to myself that was never going to happen. And guess what happened again? Somehow in the universe, this time I was like, okay, I can feel it. Let me just release it quietly myself. And boom, it's like PTSD all over again. Everybody hears, I'm in the back of the room. I'm like, what in the actual hell? I can never come back to school again. I get up again. I'm about to leave. And then I get to the door. I'm like, man, yeah, I farted. Who gives a shit? Who? Who cares? I did. I was like, I don't even care anymore. I'm going to go back and sit down.
Wow. That's real growth. That's real growth on your part. The fact that you like just got up and left, was anyone laughing at you, or was
it? Oh, yeah.
Did people notice you were leaving? Like, people must have noticed.
Oh, yeah. They were laughing so hard. My friends did not let me live that down for a long time. They just, oh, man. They would like make fart noises all the time. Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah. No, but it wasn't on some like bully type stuff. Like, but it was just like, I mean, it's pretty funny. Like, if it happened to me, if I was not on the receiving end of that, I definitely would have been one of them laughing. That's why I was like, shit, just it is what it is.
Yeah. That's so funny. All right. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you. Also, I have to say, like, when the bend over one feels like your body's betraying you, because you feel it coming and you're like, okay, I'm either going to suck it back in, or I'm going to kind of, what you say, release it quietly on my own terms. But when you bend over and you don't even know that it's there, it's a betrayal. It's a complete physical betrayal.
It's like, the worst part is I had nobody to be mad at. Just I've been in so much pain, but then I got nobody to be angry but myself.
But no, I'm proud of you for sticking it out in grade 8. Good for you. Also, grade 7 is perhaps the worst age for that to happen to. That's when you're like the most susceptible to feeling embarrassed.
Yo, I can't tell you, man. My mom, this is when I credit my mom for being so strong, because heading to school the next day was by far one of the hardest things, because my brain, I knew exactly, I didn't even sleep. I couldn't even sleep that night.
Really?
I couldn't even sleep because I know exactly what I was walking into. I didn't face it. When I got up and left, I didn't deal with the repercussions. I didn't give anybody time to like digest. All I did was just prolong the BS I was going to deal with the next morning. Yeah. From the second I walked into class, everyone's just like, already smiles on their faces. Already. I'm like, don't look at me.
So your mom, how did your mom help you get back to school?
Oh, my mom didn't help. There was no conversation about that. There was just no debate. This is not even about like, well, you got to go to school. It's like, there's no choice. You have to go to school. It's like, it's just farting. Trust me, everybody will forget about it. I fart. Your dad farts. You know, your teacher farts. You know, your classmates, they all fart.
This started off as like a lighthearted story about farting, and it's become a real like inspirational hero's journey.
Yeah, for real.
You're like, you couldn't sleep, like you're overcoming so much.
Oh, dude, I was in a hyperbolic chamber of growth. I had to build thick skin in less than 24 hours.
Oh my God, that's really funny. That's really good. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ola, for sharing your schmoment with me. I really appreciate you opening up. This is a safe space. I hope you felt cared for and nurtured in this schmoey space.
Oh, I did.
Thank you so much for joining me on Schmodio. You can see Ola in Vancouver on June 17th. And then again, from July 14th to 16th, he will be touring around Canada and Ottawa and Winnipeg and Toronto. Check Ola out. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Appreciate you. You guys can follow me on Instagram at showtime.data. You can get the tickets in the link in my bio.
Showtime.data.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much, Ruby.
Bye.
It's been great. Bye-bye.
Wait. So our Instagram account is just going to post a picture of you. Is that cool?
In the context of Vancouver's opioid crisis, CATR would like to take a moment to share some harm reduction strategies.
Try not to do drugs alone. When going out, let friends know what drugs you're taking and make sure someone has an naloxone kit. If you're able to, get your drugs tested before taking them.
Avoid mixing opioids with alcohol or stimulants. Remember that opioids can include painkillers prescribed by a doctor, and it's possible for any drugs to be contaminated with opioids.
Learn the signs of opioid overdose, which include, but are not limited to, unresponsiveness or unconsciousness, inability to speak, breathing that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, heartbeat that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, skin tone that has turned blue or gray, choking or gurgling sounds.
If you think someone is overdosing, call 911 immediately. Start rescue breathing and administer naloxone if you have it. You cannot get in trouble for being on drugs, so always call 911 in an emergency.
For more information about naloxone kits and training, visit towardtheheart.com.
Thank you and stay safe.
Hey, are you interested in radio? Passionate about gender issues? Want to be an active part of your community? Then join the wave and become part of CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective. Our show Intersections airs every 4 weeks, and we want your voice. We are all about empowering everyone and giving you the chance to speak your mind. There's no experience necessary. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, or email us at genderempowerment@citr.ca.
The band Winona Forever on their album Acrobat, their song Butterflies. You're listening to CITR. My name's Ruby. This is Schmodio. But I'm signing off now. We're ending a little early today. I know. Don't stop crying. Stop. It's going to be okay. Stop. Thank you for caring though. We are going to be back in 2 weeks with a special international comedian. I've never interviewed a North American comedian before, so I'm very excited to be talking to this guy. He's touring around Canada right now, so he'll be coming and talking to us about his show in Vancouver. But no spoilers, no sneak peeks. You'll just have to tune in 2 weeks to hear this comedian. All right. I hope that if you're driving somewhere, maybe you're going for lunch right now. Maybe you're taking like an early lunch. It's not even noon yet, but like maybe you're going. I hope that it's going to be really nourishing. It's going to be tasty. It's not going to be like a cold wrap, you know. Maybe you're getting like a piping hot butter chicken or like a quesadilla or like a really big salad a la Elaine. And it's really tasty and it's really filling and you feel really good afterwards. And you're like, I feel strong, you know, and you stand up straight and you are energized. And I also hope you have a great weekend. If anyone wants to come to a Shabbat dinner tonight, I'm hosting a Shabbat dinner at my house. DM me on Instagram if you want to come. Ruby Raven. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to Shmodio. We hope that you're enjoying your day, as always. And can't wait to interact with you at my Shabbat dinner. Okay. Bye-bye. Shmodio!
And you will know our love was meant to be.